Whenever I go and visit someone, I like to look around their house and see all those little family artifacts, the little things that they have decorating their home. Maybe it's a quilt hanging up on a wall, or a fish mounted somewhere. Could be a photo on the wall that stands out. Maybe a painting that was done. These little things that are more than just a decoration, that stand for something, where when you ask about them, there's a story behind it. You know, we are just moving into our new house that we're starting to get the walls painted, and then our stuff will be getting moved in, and we get to start unpacking all those things. And I just love the stories that come with them. The things that stand for what the family is about, what shaped you, what brought you to this point. You know, that fish mounted on the wall is probably not just any fish. Maybe some of you have a fish that you just got from a garage sale and you put it up on your wall. But most of the time, there's a story behind it. Now, that fish, that's for the week I spent with my grandpa. We spent a week out camping, and we did a whole lot of things, and one of them was, that was the first time I caught a fish that big. And so now it sits there and it reminds me of those times that we shared. That painting, that's something that my aunt did. It's the old farmhouse that her parents used to live on. Or all the photos that people are wearing funny clothes in. Well, what's this one? Well, that's a college graduation, cap and gown. What's this one over here? Well, that's a wedding picture, dress and veil. What's this one? Well, that's the military dress uniform. The stories that go with it, the way that you shape it. As a kid growing up, that's often how you found out things about grandma and grandpa. You're at their house and certain things adorn their walls and their spaces. Maybe it's little collections. Oh, apparently you collect frogs. You have frogs everywhere. Or birds, butterflies. And you start hearing some of these stories, and they shape the idea of who this family is. What brought them to this place? Those artifacts that were worth collecting and putting where they'd be visible. Sometimes they're joyous occasions, and sometimes they're sad things. Sometimes they're warnings for the future. These brake pads on the shelf? Well, these are the brake pads that almost killed me. They're the reminder that I need to get my brakes checked a little bit more often than I used to. Those things that shape the way we think of ourselves. In Joshua chapter 4, we come to the people of Israel about to come and cross the Jordan. They are already receiving their instructions that, in fact, actually at the end of chapter 3, it gives in summary the people crossing the Jordan, and now you hear the details of what happens as they cross. But more than just moving across this river, this is a time when they set up an artifact for the nation, where they look at this set of times that God has worked for them, and they set up something to remember it by. We read the story in Joshua chapter 4, starting in verse 1. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.'" Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste, and when all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priests passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them. About 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests bearing the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal, on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings on us. We ask today that you would stir us up to know you more. Open your word to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have this story of the people crossing the Jordan River, entering the Promised Land. In chapter 3, they talked about what this would mean to the people, how it would be a sign to them of God's power, his work in the land. Now we see it happening, and in the midst of it, they're told to stop and pick up some rocks. I've never tried to cross a river during its flood stage that was being held back by God's miraculous power. I can only assume that I would be in the crossing over in haste category and not so much in the stopping to pick up rocks category. But that's what they are called to do. 12 men to go gather stones, put a stone up on your shoulder and carry it until we go to bed tonight. This work, this memorial set up, because it was more than just a way for God's people to get into the Promised Land. This was to be something that lasted. We see three elements of this that stand out to the work that was being done there, but also the work that we see God doing throughout Scripture and in the church today. The first thing is that this was a representative work. There was a representative work of the community being done by 12 men. That it wasn't every single person coming and picking up their own stone, but it was a leader of each tribe bringing a stone to represent their tribe. When I think of a representative, sometimes I think of those automatic phone systems. Who's going to represent the company to me as I try to call? And their first line of defense is usually that computer. If you would like to talk to someone in accounting, please say accounting. If you would like a representative, please say representative. If you need someone in bills payable, please say bills payable. Representative. Did you say accounting? No. Representative. I'm sorry, do you know your party's extension? Representative. 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 You just want someone who can speak for the company. Here we have 12 men who will speak for the nation, who will work for the nation. A leader of each tribe who's coming to gather this stone. In them, the work of the full tribe being done. One for Judah and for Levi. Each tribe represented as they come and stack their stones up as they make camp that evening. This is actually commonly the way that God works. But on the one hand, our faith is very individual. Each of us called to know God, to personally take those steps of faith and to respond to Him. But at the same time, God uses representatives throughout Scripture to deal with His people and the world as a whole. Here we have these leaders from the various tribes. In other places, we have Moses coming and representing the people before God, the priests who would enter God's presence. More than that, we have the very nature of this world that is shaped by those who would represent us, who would go before us. In Romans chapter 5, we see this laid out, where it talks of two representatives that the human race can follow. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If by one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. God, in His ordaining of the world, was willing to let Adam stand in for all of the human race. And as terrible as that fall was, Adam and Eve stepping out of the presence of God, by the very same nature, Jesus steps in and carries that punishment for us and offers life. One man standing for the many. These people coming through, one man from each tribe, a leader. They knew the weight that was on their shoulders, not just because they were told to put a rock there, but because they were told to represent many people. That sometimes they were successful and sometimes they failed. Then as leaders, when they failed, they led many astray. And when they stood strong, they gave strength to many. We are called in much the same way. now to represent Jesus in this world as his church, his people, his bride. Not because God couldn't do things on his own, but because he has chosen to work through people who would represent him, who would point to that greater truth. As these people crossed the Jordan, they gathered up these stones. This wasn't just to do something one time for these 12 men, not just that representative work, but it was also a work of remembering. This remembering work of how do you make something that lasts? Remembering is another central theme to the obedience of God's people. This remembering work that they do is called out in verse 6. This may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? You shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He says it again in verse 21. When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? You shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. This was a work of remembering, to keep in mind the powerful work of God. It was important to be able to tell the kids of Israel, when they grew up and they walked along the banks of that powerful river, Dad, why are there so many rocks here? Oh, well, let me tell you. We set these up. You know, my grandpa is the one who carried this rock right here, third from the bottom. It was out there in the middle of the river. How did he get a rock out of the river? Well, that's the good part. When he walked across it, God made it dry ground. The ark of God, God's presence entered the river and the river stopped for God. We walked across and we picked up the stones. We stacked them here. This remembering was to be a central theme in Israel's ability to follow God. It's a central theme in our ability to follow God and trust in him as well. That we are called to know how God has worked, to pass on that message of the gospel generation to generation, that future generations would know what God has done. We know that this is how Israel got into trouble. If you just go a little bit farther, in Judges chapter 2, we see that people begin to forget. After the death of Joshua, it says, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. When the next generation came who did not know God, they stopped obeying. They did not know what he had done. This theme comes up again a little bit later in the book of Judges. The people of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, in chapter 8, who had delivered them from the hand of all their enemies on every side, and they did not show steadfast love to the family of Gideon in return for all the good that he had done to Israel. They forget. And when they forget, they start acting differently. There are all kinds of movies and stories about people who can't remember. People who have amnesia of some kind or another. Some are comedies, romance, dramas, action. All types of stories that use that device. A man wakes up one morning not knowing how he got there or what's going on. But there's a gun on the table, so this must be an action show. Or every day, a man and woman go on their same first date. But you can't remember meeting him before. At the core of those stories is that important idea that if you don't remember your past, it's hard to know what your future holds. It's hard to root yourself in anything if you don't know how you got there. We are called to remember the work that God has done, to live our lives based on his faithfulness in the past and our hope for the future. And of course, this work that the people of Israel do in Joshua chapter 4, you know, it's not just a representative thing and not just for remembering, but it really at its core is a religious work. It's not just a source of national pride, although that is some of what they get out of it. It's not just the history of the nation, but this is the history of God working with them. In fact, that's what it says in part of the remembering, but especially at the end of this chapter. Verse 24. You tell the children when they ask what God has done. They dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. Now he takes it back another generation. And verse 24, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. This is a pile of stones that should become an important way to point people, not just the children who walk by, but all the people of the earth being pointed to God. That these people are called to set something up. There would be a tool of witnessing to many generations. Yes, recounting the past, but more than that, pointing people to God. This was not just a 4th of July celebration. Well, this pile of rocks means we get to eat hot dogs. There's a pile of rocks over there that says we should do some fireworks today. But it was something that would point people to God. The hand of the Lord is mighty. But they would say, our nation could not be here except for the work of God. Not, well, we had some victories that were easier than expected, or we've had some good luck over the years, but just to point to a river and say, we couldn't have walked across that. We couldn't be on this side if it wasn't for God stopping it. The way we got to this land, the way that every step worked out, was because God is mighty. We are called the same way. Not to shy away from putting God at the center of our hearts and our lives, the stories that we tell. We are called to be the type of people who over and over again point others to Jesus and his work. Oftentimes it's easier to fall back and rely on national pride, to rely on the things that we so easily can have in common with our neighbors. No, we live in the same land. We live in the same neighborhood. Do you know when they're going to shut off the irrigation water? And so hard to say, do you know the God that provided the water in the first place? There are many things that we keep around our house. Ways that we shape the stories that we tell to our kids and our grandkids. Things that we put at the center of who we are by the central place we give in our home. Israel was told to put a stack of stones to point to what God had done. What will you have in your life, in your house? That odd thing that if people came over, they'd say, where'd you get this thing? That will open the door to tell those stories. That, my friend, is because God is mighty. He has worked in my life. And I'm so excited that you asked about that because I love to tell this story. If you don't have something like that already, how will you create those opportunities, those reminders that open the door to speak of God? That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. There's two sides of that. That everyone may know, but that also that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The farther those things get pushed to the side, the less you speak of them, the more they become like a dusty photo album. Well, if you really want to hear about how it was when I was growing up, sure, I guess we can dig the thing out and we can look at a couple pictures. If you really press me to talk about God, I have a Bible around here somewhere. Keeping them central keeps us speaking to people around us, but it also keeps us fearing the Lord. Draws us near to Him as well. What do you need in your life? What can you set up? Or what do you already have that you can move to a more central place? That people will ask, that children will ask, that guests will ask, what does this mean? When people ask of your life, are you able to say, the hand of the Lord is mighty? God has taken me this far. Let us praise His name forever. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your work among us. We thank You for the fact that You give us strength. That You work on our hearts and our minds, and we ask that You would help us to remember the great things You have done, to speak boldly of them, to be Your representative among the people of this world. In Jesus' name, amen.